Yadrigo Drijamakam Vasudeva Prachodita Vasudeva Prachodita Yatavid Hayate Gopa Yatavid Hayate Gopa Saha Krishna Vrajam Yayu Saha Krishna Vrajam Yayu Ityadrigo Drijamakam Vasudeva Prachodita Yatavid Hayate Gopa Saha Krishnam Vrajam Yayu
In this manner,
Hadri,
to go downhill, go the cows,
Dwija,
and the brahmanas, Makam,
the great sacrifice,
Vasudev,
by Lord Krishna,
Prachoditaha, urged. Yata,
properly.
Vidaya,
executing.
Te,
they.
Gopa,
the cowherds.
Saha Krishna,
together with Lord Krishna.
Vrajam,
to Vraja.
Hyayu,
they went.
Translation and purport by the Empowered Disciples of Srila Prabhupada.
Translation. The members of the cowherd community, having thus been inspired by Lord Vasudev to properly execute the sacrifice to Govardhan Hill, the cows, and the brahmanas, returned with Lord Krishna to their village, Vraj.
Translation responsively. Please repeat. The members of the cowherd community.
Having thus been inspired
by Lord Vasudev
to properly execute the sacrifice
to Govardhan Hill,
the cows,
and the brahmanas,
returned with Lord Krishna
to their village Vraj.
It's a long purport, so please bear with me. Purport. Although the Govardhan Puja was performed in a blissful and successful way, the matter was hardly finished. Lord Indra is, after all, tremendously powerful, and he received the news of the Govardhan sacrifice with burning anger. What ensued will be described in the following chapter. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports. Thus ends the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 24th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Worshipping Govardhan Hill. Omagyana tamanandasya ganandraya shalakaya chakshuvan militam yena tasmai shri guruvena maha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
With each passing year, the things that we hold so dear to our very existence are being taken away. Actually, with each passing month, with each passing moment, the blocks that construct our very existence are being removed before our eyes. And what are these things? What are these things which in some cases are so dear that they may even be confused for our very self. And yet these temporary objects are being removed even as we speak. And what are these things? Our physical constitution, our eyesight, our hearing, the things that make up our body, our beauty, our fame, our wealth. Yes, especially our wealth. Our ability to live a simple, renounced life is being taken away as we rely upon ambulances and other persons to look after us. And who is stealing these things? Who is the thief? Maybe we should question. Maybe this is the question that great sages have asked for years and years. Who is stealing our existence? Material nature is the ultimate rip-off because we're given nothing at the start. Well, a little body about how big's a baby? About that big? Maybe those with children, especially the mother Jesus with children, know exactly how big a baby is. Anyway, a baby is, say, this big. We can start with next to nothing. And as time goes on, we acquire so much by our ever-expanding powers of prowess. We acquire a seemingly more attractive body. We acquire strength, fame, wealth, power. And at the end of our life, these things gradually get chopped off, whittled away. And there's nothing we can do about it. Actually, that's not true. We can pay huge amounts of money and have operations and have all these things put in place to protect us, but still they're taken away. This Krishna consciousness movement is sometimes presented as the way to become deathless. Deathless. That's nothing to do with your ears, that's to do with dying. We become deathless. In other words, you won't die. However, the question may be raised, if we don't die, does that mean we're going to live forever? In the same body? In the same Crossways restaurant? In the same temple? Whatever it might be. No, actually. Deathlessness means something different. But the essential point is that if we become deathless, who are we going to hang out with? Who are we going to associate with? This is the value of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It actually lets us see the future and the past and the present simultaneously. As a deathless living entity, a practitioner of Krishna consciousness, a Bodhi Yoga as it's known in Sanskrit, as a practitioner of this spiritual path on the march for becoming deathless. It's good for us to know who we're going to associate with, what we're going to do. That is the value of the 10th canto, what to speak of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We've been learning in this chapter, which has just come to its conclusion with this verse, we've been learning that Krishna is a bit of a trickster. Yes, that Krishna, if he wants to, he can tell concocted philosophy. If he wants to, he can arrange it that everyone worships him directly or indirectly. Thinking about Krishna being a trickster, actually, I'm reminded about just recently I was in Mayapur, in Navadvipa, and there was a Janani Vaspuru was telling a story about the Jagannath deities at the Jagannath Mandir in Navadvipa. That's where we were at the time, actually, while he was telling the story. And he started out the same way. He said, Krishna is a transcendental trickster. One day, Lord Jagannath appeared to one of his pujaris, this is at the Jagannath Mandir, and said, actually, I would very much like to have some jackfruit. And the pujari said, no problem. I will buy you as many jackfruit as you desire. He said, no, you don't understand. He said, I really want to have the sweetest, the best jackfruit. And he said, no problem, I will go and buy you the best jackfruit. And he said, Lord Jagannath said to the Vajari, "No, you don't understand." He said, "When I appear as a cowherd boy in Vraj, do you think I don't have sandesh, rasgulla, burfi, milk, yogurt, butter? Do you think I don't have those already?" And the Bajari said, "You're the Lord of the universe, you have everything." He said, "Exactly. So why do you think I break into the houses of the gopis and steal theirs?" And the Bajari said, "You got me there, I don't know. Why do you break into the houses of the gopis and steal theirs?" And the Lord explained that the stolen sweets are the sweetest. And the Pujari said, "Now I understand." Lord Jagannath said, "Tonight we'll sneak out in the cover of darkness. You'll climb the tallest jackfruit tree and pass the jackfruit down to me." And the Pujari said, "But my Lord, the trees are so high, jackfruit are so big, and if they hit the ground, they go off like bombs. So loud." And he said, "No problem." He said, "My body is perfect for it. My arms are far apart. I will catch the fruit as you throw them to me." Bajari said, "Okay." Under the cover of darkness, they stuck into the king's jackfruit plantation. The Lord Jagannath found the perfect tree and said, "Up you go." The Bajari clambered up to the top of this tall tree. And then the Bajari called down, "Are you ready?" And Lord Jagannath said, "Go ahead." And he threw a huge jackfruit down, and just as he threw it, Lord Jagannath ran away. He ran off, and the jackfruit hit the ground like a nuclear bomb. Boom! And all the king's soldiers came running with their guns. And they looked around for the source of the sound. Saw a massive jackfruit on the ground, two footprints running away, and a man up the tree. And they said, "You are the head Pujari, what are you doing up the king's jackfruit, the biggest jackfruit tree in the king's plantation?" And he said, "You're probably not going to believe this." But actually what happened was that Lord Jagannath came and told me, and he told them the story. And the soldiers laughed and said, "We're going to go get the king." So they woke the king up. My lord, you must come." He came and spoke to the Pujari. And the Pujari, still up the tree, said, told him the story. "Lord Jagannath played a trick on me. He told me he was going to catch the jackfruit, and as I threw it, he ran away." They entered the temple and saw Lord Jagannath standing there with an even bigger smile than normal. And the king said, "I believe your story." And he said, "Even if it's a lie, it's given all of us so much pleasure that I'll let you go." And Lord Jagannath continued with his incredibly large smile on the altar, having the one stolen jackfruit that the king let him take. So I was just thinking when I was reading this verse last night about how Krishna is the transcendental trickster, how we can see this throughout Krishna's other incarnations, not just in Krishna running around stealing items from the residents of Vraj. Following instructions, we can see in the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, but here is being very essential. Even if the instruction is to climb a jackfruit tree and steal fruits in the middle of the night, or if the instruction is to change from worshipping Lord Indra to worshipping Govardhan Hill. There are, of course, other trickster operations in place. I was thinking about when I was going to Radhakund, and we're driving along in an auto rickshaw on the way to Radhakund. The sun is a chain stretched across the road, across the main road, with two little boys hanging on to either end of it. And the auto rickshaw stops. And then a third boy comes running up to the side and said, in quite good English, "You're just crossing the border. You have to pay a border charge." I thought, this is interesting. And after much discussion, agreed to pay their border charge, which amounted to only 5 rupees anyway. And the taxi driver explained that they're quite inexperienced border guards. Normally the border guards charge a lot more than that when they see a white person in the car. See, there's trickery everywhere with Krishna's parts and parcels and in Krishna's land in general. However, a point that's being made here is the importance of following instructions. When we read the Srimad Bhagavad Gita,
we come across many verses which are sometimes said to be the most important. In the 18th chapter, of course, we come across Savhadoma Parityaga. We come across abandon all varieties of religion, which is said to be one of the essential instructions from the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada himself says in the Bhagavad Gita, actually the most important verse is in the 11th chapter, text number 55, I think. But this particular verse in the 18th chapter is saying to abandon everything and surrender to Krishna, especially under the guidance of a spiritual master. I heard the current chairman of the GBC, what's his name? Bhakti Vaibhav Swami. He was explaining, actually in the class, what's the chance of meeting a bona fide spiritual master? In relation to this verse, we abandon everything, we surrender to Krishna through the medium of the spiritual master. But he said, what's the possibility of us actually meeting such a bona fide spiritual master? And he used an interesting analogy, actually. He said, imagine a turtle swimming in the Atlantic Ocean, just swimming along, minding its own business, swimming quite deeply in the ocean, paddling its way through the water. And somewhere in that same ocean, there was a small piece of wood, about a round piece of wood about as big as a ghee bucket lid, with a hole in the centre of it, somewhere floating in the same ocean. And while this turtle was swimming along through the water, it suddenly decided to go to the surface and look around and see what was happening. And as it swam to the surface, it surfaced directly through the hole in the piece of wood, which now encircled his neck. And he raised the surface, looked around to see what was happening. And Bhakti Vaibhav Maharaj explained that the chances of us meeting a bona fide spiritual master in the universal existence is the same as that turtle putting its head through that piece of wood. He said, so don't think for a moment that, oh, you know, it's just one of those things we do. We met Srila Prabhupada through Prabhupada's books. We met Prabhupada's books through maybe a devotee in the street, maybe just through our incredible good fortune, somewhere or other, we came across the books of Srila Prabhupada, and through that, we then maybe met our own spiritual master or spiritual masters. So he's saying, this is such a rare opportunity that actually by reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, we can then see into the spiritual world, have an opportunity to see what's going on. Seeing this Govardhan Puja, which the residents have just performed, which as it's explained in the purport, it was performed in such a blissful way that the matter is hardly finished. No, it has just begun. I was talking to a guest at the, what day is it today? Sunday. At the Saturday feast yesterday. And he was talking about the power of the demigods. I said, really? He was telling me how by the power of the demigods, actually so many things are going on. He was talking about, just see the weather. The weather today is so cold. He said, this is caused by the demigods. I said, He went on to explain so many other things, and I won't tell you what I said, but I encouraged him. We had quite a long discussion. I encouraged him to increase his understanding into Krishna, into the power behind the demigods, if you like. And he agreed to give it a go. He agreed with the analogies that Srila Prabhupada uses about how even in a huge organization, at the top of the organization, there is still generally one person controlling. There's one person making the decisions, and even though that person may not be present everywhere, their empowered representatives are. And this actual chapter was discussed in Mayapur also, in one of the seminars I went to, where it was being explained. It's amazing that Krishna's bewildering potency is so incredible, because even personalities who have previously had the darshan of Krishna or have an understanding as to who Krishna is can then, just like that, become bewildered again and become part of Krishna Leela in a way which you couldn't conceive of, because they may have known who Krishna was and then suddenly they're acting as if they've never had any concept as to who the Supreme Lord is or how Krishna could be that Supreme Lord. In our
in our practices of devotional service. In fact, it says in the translation here, the members of the Kauhu community, having thus been inspired by the Lord to properly execute the sacrifice. We also can be properly inspired by Krishna in all our activities to do them properly, to do them to the best of our ability. I met some devotees. One of them was in a wheelchair, and this particular devotee made jewellery for the deities, and she was unable to really do much else, but she chanted her rounds and she made jewellery for the deities. She wanted to do so much more, but that was all she was sort of physically capable of doing. And it was interesting because she was very inspiring. Well, she didn't speak English, but her husband did, and very inspiring in the sense that she could see that she was limited by so many things, but what she could do, she did to the absolute best of her ability. And I was thinking in relation to whatever our own situation is, that it's very, very important to, how's it said, to be satisfied with our current situation before aspiring for another. I've heard Anuradha Prabhu say it also, that if we are in a situation, if we're not satisfied with our current situation, then we'll be chasing it, and then we won't be satisfied with the next one. And the next one, if our only desire is, we're seeking satisfaction by altering our current circumstance, maybe we'll never find satisfaction. And of course, how can we be satisfied with, materially speaking, in the material world, in a place where there is no satisfaction? Catch 22. The relation between Krishna as being the transcendental trickster and ourselves can even be just in reading these pastimes. And I remember when I first read this pastime, actually, when I first had it read to me, when I was staying in the Brahmachari Ashram in New Zealand, and I was thinking, that's far out. I couldn't understand. How can you tell the difference between what's right and what's wrong when even Krishna is saying what's right and what's wrong at the same time? He's saying these things, sometimes which make a lot of sense. Arjuna was making points, I don't know if I should shoot my extended family members, I think maybe I should go to the forest and meditate. And that made sense to me. But yeah, it's a good idea. Yeah, warfare is pretty ghastly. But who's this Krishna telling him, go ahead and fight? In fact, if you don't fight, you'll be misdirected. You must fight. I couldn't understand. So the importance of studying Krishna's pastimes, actually with guidance, discussing it with other devotees, is here shown as being so important. Because we could so easily misunderstand the leelas as they unfold. Because they're not just as simple. Even Prabhupada said the Krishna book gives us a chance to read Krishna's pastimes in like a story form. He said the Krishna book was his favourite book on a couple of occasions. And we can read Krishna book and wow, it's really nice. And other people can read, so the persons with very little Krishna conscious experience can read the Krishna book. Then we read the Srimad Bhagavatam and we think, wow, there is so much more to these pastimes than maybe was previously thought. And then when it's told, when we hear other devotees discussing these things, great discussions, like we're at Crossways on Friday and we were all day talking about the time that Lord Ram was banished into the forest. It was interesting how, because all of us had heard the pastime before and we were able to discuss, and we heard from this devotee and we read this and we read that, and suddenly the whole day goes by and we've been talking about Krishna all day, talking about Lord Ram all day, and it was very blissful, it was very ecstatic. We think that even though our understanding was very limited as to the exact details, and we only just started getting into the why Sita was sent away section of that pastime, and we're just discussing our own realizations as to what it was. And you can think, wow, our lives could be so. We're very fortunate that we have all these pastimes to discuss all the time, and we could derive that same bliss and pleasure every day, not just on the appearance days of the different incarnations of the Lord. So I guess we could have that as a some sort of goal for our existence, that every day in some way or another we can discuss. a different aspect of Krishna's appearance, whether it's climbing trees and throwing jackfruit and running off, or whether it's discussing the lifting of Govardhan Hill, which is just about to happen. And I was quite surprised, actually, having gone to Govardhan for the first time and seeing just how big Govardhan Hill was, seeing how long. And I was thinking, well, you could fit quite a few people under, even materially speaking. If Krishna was going to lift Govardhan Hill up in the air as a huge umbrella, it would have to be pretty strong for starters, but you could fit quite a few people underneath. It was quite a, just as a funny way, I should finish here because I'm, I will, but just a funny story actually. When I was walking around Govardhan Hill, Govardhan Parikrama, there were met these two Babas who were doing Dandavat Parikrama, and one of them had been going for 22 years, and one of them had been going for 25 years. One was doing 1,008 rock, and the other was doing 108 rock, but chanting the entire Bhagavad Gita in between each rock while he was doing. So it's going to take them 40 years to get all the way around. And they'd been there for a long time, and through a translator, they were able to tell me different persons they'd met and different personalities who they'd met on their very, very slow journey around Govardhan Hill. And then one of them, the one with the longest dreadlocks and the biggest beard and the huge hand-sized tilak on his head, and he only spoke Hindi, nothing else. Apparently he said he wanted to give me a benediction. I thought, uh-oh. He wanted to give me a benediction. And so I was kneeling on the ground beside him anyway. And he, remember, he spoke no English. And he put his hand upon my head. And he looked at me in the eyes and he said, may the force be with you always. And I just thought that was so funny. That somehow, in English, he said it in English. In really good English. And that was the only English he spoke. And I was thinking, isn't it funny that even the influence of George Lucas is here at Govardhan? So hopefully the force is with me always. So anyway, I'm off to do some forceful things at Crossways now, so I might say, are there any comments or questions or additions? Or
thank you. On announcement, we asked Pooja of Jagannath
today. Oh, yeah, good point.
Because she feasts about 2 o'clock.
About 2 o'clock. And then the grain, is that on Saturday or Sunday next week when we do the second half?
I'm not sure what the time
is. It'll be. Today's the Ekadashi one, yeah, okay. So for those who didn't hear, today is the Vyasa Puja celebrations of Talana Stripitaka Swami. And so the whole program starts at 11, is it? 10:30 in here. Okay. So everyone, please attend. Everyone's welcome to come. Maharaj Jayaprataka Swami gave some really ecstatic classes in Mayapur each night while I was there. They played this interesting game actually, just to help us all meditate on Jayaprataka Swami for a moment. That I had a fortunate opportunity of going in a boat one day with all of the ISKCON sannyasis that were in Mayapur and some GBC members up the Ganga in a boat and to swim in the sort of a private spot. And they all piled on. It was a really strong current there, but Jayaprataka Swami was encouraging them all to play this game called the Hari Bowl game. And the Hari Bowl game is where you have to divide everyone into two teams and you have a ball and you have to pass it around your team members chanting one word of the your Panchatattva mantra and then the Hare Krishna mantra in succession, so Jaya, Shri, Krishna, Chaitanya, like that all the way around. And the other team members have to come and try and get the other team has to try and get the ball off them. And Jayaprataka Swami somehow was in the middle of the opposition, and it was Krishna. It was Shivaram Maharaj had the ball, and Jayaprataka Swami was right next to him, and suddenly Shivaram Maharaj just disappeared under the water. Jayaprataka Swami was just there like that, and he wrapped his legs around him and then pulled him under the water so that Jayaprataka Swami was there. He was just going like this, just to say, where did he go? And the ball floated up to the surface and he carried on playing the game. Everyone was staring, and then he came up coughing and spluttering and completely immersed in the water. So it was nice fun activities.
That's great.
Well, actually, he jumped on top of Dave Redeswamy at one stage and wrestled him down, and then they both went under the water, and then Dave Redeswamy came up on top and he was holding Jayaprataka Swami down, so that was great. That's very nice. Okay, so we'll... Tomorrow it is text one of Lord Krishna Lifts Govardhan Hill, which is a very nice chapter introduction, so... In class, we can hear about the removing of Indra's pride. Okay. Antaraj Shimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Gaura Prabhupada.